Lord willing, this will be our last lesson in Romans. I'd like to begin with Romans 16:25. Romans 16:25 says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." I thought it was appropriate for us to reflect on the fact that Paul wants us to be established in his gospel. To be established in something means that we understand it. We know the significance of it. We know that we need to be mindful of it. We need to pursue it. We need to rejoice in it together with others. And so, we know that God the Father, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to establish us in His gospel. There are benefits for establishing, being established in His gospel. It means that we're not going to be swayed away from it. We're not going to leave it. To know what His gospel means and the significance of it, we want to be mindful of it all the time, because that's all a part of believing in the present tense. We're believing the significance of Paul's gospel, which pertains to the glory and the honor that we will enjoy in His coming kingdom. One of the things that I often do in studying is I don't look at familiar words. And I should, because I forget what I've discovered years or months ago, and it's encouraging to see the meaning of words to help us to understand a little better what Paul is calling us unto. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." What I fail to remember is that the word glory is also translated approval. It's also translated honor. It's also translated as praise as well. And so when I think about obtaining the approval of our Lord Jesus Christ, What am I anticipating? Well, I have it in the notes, but what I'm anticipating is a "well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's an approval. That's honor. That's praise for being good and being faithful unto Him. And Paul's gospel is calling us to obtaining that honor and glory in His coming kingdom, because that's where the honor and glory is going to be. It's not honor and glory today. It's honor and glory in the coming age. And it's obtaining it, which implies it takes faithfulness on our part to enter into that. You've got to be good and you've got to be faithful. Otherwise, no approval. Then in John 12:43, in sort of showing the contrast here, there were scribes and Pharisees in the synagogues, and they didn't really want to tell anybody anything or about what their hopes were and the fact that they had believed that Jesus was the Christ. And the reason why? Well, John 12:43, "For they loved the praise or the glory or the honor or the worship of men more than the glory, worship, honor of God." And that's oftentimes what causes us to fail to be faithful, to be good and faithful. When we want to have acceptance from other people, we adjust our doctrine and adjust our behavior to have their approval. And that's only for a season. when I think about how short our life is right now, 60 and 10 and 40 by reason of strength, and some are 40 plus. And all my family, all my mom and my father were 40 and plus. So I have a good chance of, if the Lord tarries, for me to live to my 90s. So we'll see. Now, Paul's gospel in Romans, it really begins in Romans 1:16 through 18. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let me just say this. Paul only had one gospel. And he amplified that what that gospel was by the use of terms. The gospel of God, the gospel of Christ. And here he's just talking about the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And this salvation, by the way, is a so great salvation that we read about in Hebrews 2:3, which was first spoken by the Lord when he came in his ministry to the nation of Israel only, offering them the kingdom of the heavens. And that salvation is offered to the ones believing, because the word believeth is a present active participle, and this gospel of Christ is for those who are being faithful to the Lord. And the gospel of Christ was to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And then verse 17 tells us, therein, that is, the gospel of Christ, is the righteousness of God revealed. When most people teach the righteousness of God comes when you are born from above. And that is just not the case. The righteousness of God comes after we are believing in the present tense. And it's the gospel of Christ, or Paul's gospel, that is basically or really given to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. But it's Paul's gospel that reveals the righteousness of God, which is from faith to faith. In other words, we're not saved, born from above by faith. We are born from above when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the righteousness of God revealed to us is from faith to faith. And we have different levels of faith. In other words, it's not an event. Paul wanted to add to their faith. He wanted their faith, and his apostles say, Lord, increase our faith. And so we know that faith is, we grow in faith. We grow in confidence. The more we grow in faith, the greater our hope. And the greater our hope of glory, what does that do for us? It intensifies our behavior of righteousness. Now, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But also in the gospel of Christ is the wrath of God revealed. We think about the wonderful things about ruling and reigning with Christ, but there's also a warning of those who hold the knowledge of the truth down. They suppress it. Because let me just read here in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold down the truth in unjustness. In other words, the word unrighteousness is really the negative just. Unjust. And when you are holding down the truth so that you can be unjust, you know what? You're living in a lawless life. Because the moral law is to help us to live a just life. And if you're holding down the moral law so that you can be unjust, or holding down the truth so that you can live like you want to, then there's the wrath of God going to be revealed. I was talking to my sister today, and she's been having some fellowship with a lady that's interested in things pertaining to the coming kingdom. And the church where they go, they lost a pastor because he preferred another lady over the one he had. And but my sister's friend, she says, you know what? I'm just about graced out. And what the church does is they talk about grace for everything. Grace to the point of license. And that can cause you to live an unguarded life and fall into sin. And we don't want to hold down the truth by saying the grace of God will allow me to do certain things. But anyway, Paul's gospel reveals two things. It reveals that the fact that the righteousness of God, which has to do with being living by faith, and it also reveals the wrath of God against those who will not live an honorable life before Him. Now, in 1 Peter 5:10, we see again the word established used. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His age-lasting honor, age-lasting glory, age-lasting approval by Christ Jesus, after you suffer a while, make you perfect or complete, establish, strengthened, and settled. It's interesting that suffering comes first. you know what? It's amazing what suffering will do to you. If you're suffering, and if you know you're going to die, things around you, things, toys, possessions, they become very insignificant. I heard a guy say that he was dying of cancer, and he was relating to sitting in the study. He was a student at Dallas Seminary. But anyway, he says, I was looking over at my golf clubs, and buddy, they just did not mean anything to him anymore. And suffering for a while will get our attention completely, and will perfect us and help us to change our values relatively easier than if we're feeling well. And suffering a while will establish us. We will lay aside the things that are insignificant, and we will begin to focus on the things that count. You know, I think the death penalty is doesn't happen here in Minnesota, but in Texas it does. But you know, if you are getting ready to suffer the death penalty, or that you're getting ready to be martyred like those Christians in Turkey, I'm sure there are times when you deal with unconfessed sin, and that's one of the things that you can do, is take care of unconfessed sins. And we can be strengthened because of the things that we suffer. Jesus Christ learned obedience by the things which He suffered, according to Hebrews chapter 5. And, of course, suffering a while will settle us. We just simply have to just leave our future into God's hands. One of the things that, in reading my devotions last year, I came across a passage of Scripture in James chapter 5, verse 8, where it says, be patient. The word patient here means to persevere. Be one who perseveres. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. In the last days, lawlessness will abound. And it is abounding. And you know what? It will affect us. it desensitizes us. And just like the screen and the television, I'll tell you the truth, I cannot tell you the last time I blushed with something I saw, because my heart has been affected by the things that come across the screen and that I allow myself to see. I can't remember blushing. I don't know that I wasn't very prone to do that, but anyway, I don't know. I just know this. I don't blush in certain things that probably I should blush over. But we need to establish our hearts. Because we know the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh, and it's out of the heart that comes the issues of life. Out of the heart is where we make the decisions of pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, if we don't establish our hearts, what can happen to us? Well, Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21. He that received the seed unto the stony places, the same is he that heard the word, that is, the word of the kingdom, the mysteries of the kingdom, and anon, well, that means right away, they can see it. Man, this is really great stuff. Never heard this before. And they receive it with joy, and yet hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. And the word persecution carries the thought of pressure. You know what? When you start having fellowship with people and that don't have the same beliefs that you do, there's a certain amount of pressure for you to shut up. And sometimes you should anyway, because you don't want to cast your pearls before swine. But the point is this, sometimes pressure can cause us to quit and to change. And so we need to have root. We need to be established in Paul's gospel. And we need to have our hearts established. In Hebrews 13, verse 9, it encourages us not to be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established with grace, and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Of touch not, taste not, handle not meats. The legalism, the ceremonial laws, they don't profit. But we need to establish our heart with what? With grace, the power of Christ. In what is the purpose of establishing our hearts? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming or the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. The parousia, the presence. People are going to be excused from his presence because they did not abide in him. And so we need to establish our hearts to be unblameable in holiness before God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we again see the salvation, the so great salvation that Paul endured. He wasn't enduring the so great salvation. He was enduring the persecution for the so great salvation for the elect. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with age-lasting glory and praise. So that, I'm just bringing that out, that it is age-lasting. It is praise and honor in the coming kingdom. And I mentioned before that praise and approval is done when the master of the house comes and checks our how we have done. Matthew 25:21, and his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. enter thou into the joy of the Lord. To be established in Paul's gospel is going to help us to do things well. And I was talking to a broadcaster today, and I was just telling him that that in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I had a daily broadcast, 5 days a week, 15 minutes a day. Came on just after J. Vernon McGee's program, which was interesting. I like that because maybe somebody will leave the dial, you know, right where it is. But anyway, I told him, I said, you know, I like quality. I used double-coated tape, which was a better quality recording tape. And I used a half track instead of a quarter track tape deck. And I bought a good quality tape deck to make the recordings with. And I told him I'm interested in quality, in doing things well. And you know what? God is too. He is interested in us doing the things that we do, doing them well. Not being slopping around about it. And I like to do that. I like to do things well. And I want to behave. You know, being good is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Being good. And being faithful is one of the fruits as well. And being faithful over a few things. You don't have to have a big crowd or a big operation or a big thing. You just need to be faithful over what God allows you to have. And you know what? He'll make you ruler over many things. He can trust you with a little. He says, I can trust you with the much. So, and we get to enter in to the Lord. And entering into the joy of the Lord is entering into the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, it says, For I say unto you, Jesus talking to his disciples, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom. And it's through Paul's gospel that we understand the righteousness of God. That's the righteousness that we need if we expect to enter into the kingdom and to rule and reign with Christ. That's why we need to be established with it. Now, what was the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? They were just. They lived just. They lived according to the law. But they were not willing to live by faith. Now, to establish our hearts and establish our life according to the righteousness of God, what should we be doing? Well, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And the word seek is in the present tense. We're to seek the kingdom and we're to seek the righteousness. I had a friend of mine trying to share this with one of his friends. And he says, you know, the word seek in Matthew 6:33 is in the present tense. I don't know whether he put it that way or not. He says, I'm seeking first the kingdom. And his friend told him, oh, you don't need to do that anymore. You've already got it. When you got saved, you can quit now. But you know what? The Lord says you need to seek it in the present tense all the time. And not only the kingdom, but the righteousness that will allow us to enter the kingdom. And then Romans chapter 8, one of the things that in Paul's gospel has to do with being chargeable. You know, if we're chargeable, then we're not just. And so therefore it is essential for us to be clean and to live, not only confessing our sins, that takes care of the sins, but we need to live according to the moral law. We need to be obedient to it. All you got to do is read, a few books in the Old Testament to see what happens to those who are disobedient. I just think about Saul, think about Solomon, I think about David, and there are many others. There's some places in the Old Testament that I just do not want to read, because I know what's going to happen. Because a prophet becomes disobedient and he suffers for it. And even an old prophet can lie to you and cause you to cost your life. And that's what happened in 1 Kings. But anyway, justified or unchargeable. Romans 8:33-34. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth, and who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Where does the justification come? It comes from the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us to get us in the family. The resurrection is what we use to be unchargeable by confession of sin and appropriating the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to be delivered from the bondage of sin. Romans 4:25, He was delivered for our offenses and He was raised again for our justification. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is what we must appropriate if we are going to be unchargeable. Now, we're justified by faith. And by the way, the word faith is a noun, and it's without faith that if we don't have faith, we can't please God. So we need to keep that in mind. But in Galatians 2:16, it tells us that we're justified by faith, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law alone. I think this is the moral law. In other words, you can't be justified by just keeping the moral law alone. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. And the word believe there is in the aorist tense. That's when we were saved. Common salvation. We believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified later on by faith. Because that's what it says, by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, moral law, alone. And to be justified by faith means that we do not make shipwreck of the faith. We don't depart from the faith. If you do, then your justification comes to a screeching halt. And by the works of the moral law alone, shall no flesh be justified. In Luke 18, this is interesting to me in these following verses. The publican was standing afar off, and he smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus told his disciples, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. He was in the temple. He was appropriating the shed blood on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, and he went down to his house justified. And that's what we do when we go to the throne of grace. You know what I pray when I go to the throne of grace? I say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Why? Because I want to be in my house. I'm not going down to my house. I want to be in my house justified and unchargeable. And I'm coming to the throne of grace by faith. I know it's there. I know He's there. And I remind myself that He is. I don't think He needs to be reminded that He's there. Because He's there. Now, in Romans 2:16, we're told, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. We're going to be judged according to His gospel if we have responded to His gospel. If we haven't received ears to hear, then His gospel does not come in, is not part of the docket or the part of the charges that can be brought against us, because we're not living under that court or living under that system. So, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, he says, wherefore we labor. And this word labor is very good. I just it just dawned on me what that word means. I looked it up. And that word labor means to love or seek after honor. Therefore, we are seeking after honor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted or well-pleasing of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, and it should be translated fear of the Lord, we persuade men who will appear there. And I'm persuaded that those that have been called unto His kingdom and glory will be there, because that's where the judgment will take place, are those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And so, what does Paul do? Paul is in Colossians 1:28, and I need to move right along. In Colossians 1:28, Paul says, "We preach, warning every man in Christ, and teach every man in Christ in all wisdom, that we may present every man in Christ perfect." And I put the word "in Christ" in there because it ends, that verse is in Christ. And if you're in Christ, you know what that means? It means that the veil has been removed. And you can see the glorious gospel, or the gospel of the glory of Christ, which has to do with His coming kingdom. So, who is He preaching to? He's preaching to those that are seeking honor and glory in His coming kingdom. And He, in verse 22 and 23 of Colossians 1, He says, "In the body of His flesh, through the death," thanatos, this is the death, I'm persuaded, of Him in the garden, when His soul surrendered to His Father's will to be demoted. I mean, He was already going to the cross. And He told Judas what to do. And Judas took care of that part of it. And Jesus Christ and the Father took care of the other. Judas was not in the garden when Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. Judas was somewhere else. In fact, I was reading about that today. And I've always wondered, why in the world did Judas wait till Jesus was in the garden to betray Jesus Christ? Well, the reason that he did it in the garden, according to Luke's account, is because there were not many people up at that time, and that way they wouldn't be stoned when they took him. And that's basically what it amounted to. But anyway, so he is encouraging us to continue he wanted to present them holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And this is conditional. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Then, in verse 27, we see that this mystery has been made unto the known unto the Gentiles, and that mystery is to do with the hope of glory, the hope of honor, the hope of praise. It's not a sure thing. And then Paul tells us that we need grace, and that we get that grace by faith in Romans 5:2, by whom, that is Jesus Christ, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory, honor, and approval of God. In other words, it takes grace to stand and rejoice in that hope. And the hope of glory is Christ living, or us living, a life as Christ would live. And so, if we're going to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ in His coming kingdom, then grace must reign. Romans 5:21. That is, the sin, that is, lawlessness hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto age-lasting life. And this righteousness has to do with being obedient. That's Romans 6. It talks about being obedient. And I associate grace reigning with the throne of grace. When you look at a throne, that has authority. And we need to submit to the authority of the throne of grace. Why? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, or may we have grace, present tense, whereby we may serve God acceptably or well-pleasing with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. May God help us to be established in Paul's gospel. I tell you, the benefits and the dividends will be beyond our imagination. I've been reading about Solomon's reign. And he said that, it says in there, that silver was like stones. Can you imagine taking a hand, a pocket full of silver dollars and skipping them across Lake Calhoun? Well, they did that in Solomon's kingdom, you know. And cedar trees were like sycamore trees. So, you know, if Solomon's kingdom was great, it'll be even greater. Father, I just thank you for the encouragement that we receive from your word to be established in Paul's gospel, that we be not moved away from the hope of the calling that you've given us in Christ Jesus. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work that you've given us to do. And we know that we'll hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. For these things we thank you for, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.